1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 to verse 11. This is the last paragraph in this opening preface to chapter 15. The first 11 verses are preparing the ground for the apostles' discourse on the resurrection. He's reminded the Corinthians in the first paragraph of the gospel that he preached and which had led them to Christ and conversion. He reminds them of the doctrine he had preached, majoring heavily for his purposes in this chapter on the resurrection of Christ from the dead and the historical evidence, the facts of history concerning the resurrection of Christ. And one of those facts is his own conversion. As he says in verse 8, that Christ, last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. And this leads him to say a few more words on his own conversion, and how he regards himself, and the wonder of it. For I am the least of the apostles, he says, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. Why not? Because I persecuted the church of God. So, however, was I converted? However was Saul of Tarsus converted to be a believer? And more, to be turned into Paul, the apostle? How is it that I, with my background, with my experience, with my hatred of Christ, with my persecution of the Church of God, how is it that I am now an apostle of Jesus Christ, a preacher of the gospel? That I have come to Corinth and other places and I have preached the gospel and sinners have been converted. That I have proclaimed the Christ who died for our sins. I have proclaimed the Christ who was raised from the dead for our justification. Why me? Why did Jesus show to me? Why to me such love and mercy? Was it love? Yes. Was it power? Yes, it was Christ's power. But above all, it was the grace of God. The grace of God. What is that? The undeserved kindness of God? It's more. It's the kindness, the goodness, the mercy of God to sinners who deserve his wrath. And Paul felt himself to be the most deserving of wrath. He remembers his hatred of Christ, his determination to exterminate the Church of Christ, the persecution of the Church of God. And there's only one way he can account for this glorious conversion, this remarkable change, is the grace of God. The grace of God. Christ, the risen Christ, confronted me on the Damascus Road. That must have been the grace of God. The Father sent his Spirit into me to regenerate me. Christ regenerated me by his Spirit on the Damascus Road there and in that experience. And I can find no other reason for it. There is no other reason for it. But the undeserved goodness of God, indeed, the goodness of God when I deserve to be obliterated in damnation forever. And look what's happened to me. That grace was effective. It worked in me. It changed me. Changed me. It completely revolutionized me from being a destroyer of Christ, a destroyer of the church. I spent my days, my hours, my nights, my all, my being, I spent myself in preaching the gospel. I've worked hard, harder than all the apostles. God's grace to me was not without an effect, without effect. And yet it wasn't me working. It was the grace of God working in me. All must be to Christ's praise. All must be to God's praise. And you have been converted. You too have had your experience. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach. Christ, the grace of God, Christ dying for our sins, Christ raised for our justification. And this is what you believed. And by believing means trusted, committed to. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you and which you received. Lambano, paralambano, you remember, welcomed, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain, for what I received I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and so on. And as I was saying in the previous discourse, the historical facts here have to be faced. I challenge again the enlightened so-called, the free thinkers. Account for the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Explain it. Was it his education? No. Was it his parenthood? No. Was it his seminary training? What was it? Did he read some books? Did he come to a calm decision? He was broken into on the Damascus Road when he was bent with all his energy and strength to destroy the believers at Damascus. Christ intervened and changed him, converted him from being a persecutor of Christ to being a preacher of Christ. And that's what conversion is for all of us. It may not be, it won't be so dramatic as Paul. We may not have had his background. Some of you listening to me will have no doubt been brought up in godly homes. And you were ever brought up in the fear and nurture and admonition of God. Others were in deeply religious homes, but actually utterly foreign to the gospel. Like Paul himself, his background was Judaism. Some of you would have come from Islam. Some of you have been born into heavy Romanism or in one of the cults or something. Others were born in pagan homes, utterly godless. Some would have been brought up in homes which were utterly antagonistic to the gospel, haters of Christ. But whatever the background, there has to come a time when we are born again of God's Spirit, when we're convicted of our sins, we turn from our sins, we repent and believe, we are converted to Christ. The grace of God has to break into our lives. I say again, it won't be so dramatic as Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. No. But there has to come that experience when we pass from death to life. Have you had that experience? I address you all who are listening to me. Do you know what it is to be born again? Have you been converted to Jesus Christ? Unless you're converted, you will perish. It's the grace of God that does it. It's the power of God. I can only preach the gospel. I can only lift up Christ. I can only pray. Only God, though, the grace of God, can convict and convert. If you've never been converted, trust Christ now. Look to him. You may be religious. You may be irreligious. You may be this or that or the other. I care not. Unless you are converted, you will never, never see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again and trusting in Christ and walking with him and knowing him. Believer, what an encouragement this gospel is. The grace of God is so powerful, so effective. Let's go on lifting up Christ. There's no sinner out of hell who is too hard for Christ. He can break into the hardest, most bitter of unbelievers. Maybe there's somebody listening to me and you've resisted Christ time and again. Christ's grace is still sufficient. And he can still use these feeble preachings of mine, even to you, to bring you to your knees and to Christ. The grace of God, of course, moves us to work for him. We want to see others converted. I address all preachers, and by that, first, I mean the public stated preachers on pulpits and on a dais, in a pulpit and on a dais and so on. Preach Christ, my brother. Preach Christ. This is what Paul did. This is the gospel. It's Christ who converts. It's the grace of God that converts. Preach Christ, not religion, chapelanity, churchianity, confessions. Preach Christ. Don't preach doctrine. Don't preach theology. Preach Christ. Him crucified. Him raised. Preach the grace of God in Christ. And of course, we're all preachers, all ministers, all priests, kings and priests, if we're believers. Let us proclaim Christ. Let us hold forth Christ. before men. The Christ who died crucified, his blood. The Christ who was buried and was raised. And may we preach the grace of God by lip and by life. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And all this is in preparation now for this huge discourse on the resurrection. The resurrected Christ had confronted Paul, had converted him. He preached resurrected Christ, and it's the resurrection that he's now going to major on. Let us have confidence, my brothers and sisters, in this gospel. The grace of God is still the power in the gospel to bring sinners to salvation. I challenge all free thinkers again. Face this man's conversion. Explain it. Explain it. There is only one explanation. It is the Christ, the one you deny. His grace, his resurrection, his power, his blood that saved this man. And it can do the same. Christ can do the same for you. By the grace of God. That was what was with me, the grace of God. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach. And this is what you believed.